Rose beside Grandma Pat and helper Caitlin.
Father, we thank you that for the youth, we pray, Father, that you would speak to them. And Father God, that give them a heart and desire to want to know more of you personally and intimately. We pray, Father, for Pat and Caitlin, Father, that you would give them wisdom. And also, Lord, that they would have a teachable spirit as well. Father God, we thank you for this time. And Father, we thank you that you're here. We thank you, Father, that Lord, we want to have a teachable spirit as well. And Lord, we desire to be refreshed by you this morning. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak to us. And Father, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but actually doers of your word. And Father, that you would transform our lives to line up more to what your word says. In Jesus' name. This morning, how come we always turn on that light? So what's today? Well, I know it's Sunday.
Pentecost.
What's Pentecost? Yes. Well, it empowered the people, right? Do you know So a lot of times we don't speak about Pentecost, do we? We always like talk about Easter, and we always talk about Christmas, but we barely ever talk about Pentecost. Do you know that? Do you know they can't even... I think the main reason is because they can't commercialize it. Okay? Yeah, it's the only one that... So, I mean, if you're trying to commercialize Pentecost, how would you do that? Right? You can't put no bunny to it. You can't put no little eggs to it or chocolates to it. Right? And so... But you can't commercialize it. I think that's why a lot of times the church doesn't know much about it. It's actually a day that the disciples were empowered. And so we're going to read. I'm going to have a couple scriptures. There's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 to 5 will be on here. This is New King James. And it says, in my speech and my preaching, we're not with persuasion words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, without the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel rests on man's wisdom. And if it's only man's wisdom and that doesn't have the Holy Spirit and power in it, doesn't affect anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that actually resonates and actually stirs in our hearts to want to learn. And so I sometimes we become complacent because we do things in our own strength rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And as we surrender, that's the main one, we surrender. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. Too often we do things in our own power. And what happens when we do things in our own power? We get very tired. We get very grumpy. We get very frustrated. We get let down in a way. Disappointed, you get this disappointment comes. Discouragement. And so it's just like, I think that's a lot of times what happens. So in the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:5 says that in the last days the church will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, the Holy Spirit. And we shared last week, for who were here, as we talked about the church, Ephesus, how they did everything right. They had all these Bible studies, they were outreaching to the community, they were doing all these great ministries. But what was one thing that Jesus said to them? They lost their first love. It's so easy to be caught up in doing ministry, and doing all these great things, and we forget and we leave our first love. And so that is a way of saying that we were putting more emphasis on the external show, because we look so good on the outside, rather than the internal empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Too often we want to look good on the outside, but nothing really is happening inside, because we have lost our first love. So Pentecost is a celebration of the Holy Spirit descending upon disciples, as described in Acts 2. It marks the birthday of the church and focuses the shift from fear, right, and waiting to be empowered, have boldness. Who needs empowerment and who needs boldness? Right? I think a lot of times we lack. But the funny thing is, the Word of God says He's given us all things necessary for life and godliness. It's not that we don't have it. We don't draw upon it. Isn't that so true? And so, remember that disciples have already received salvation in the indwelling of the Spirit. John 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed into them. He says, "Receive my Spirit." So they already had the Holy Spirit. Right? And so now this outpouring of the Spirit is separate, and it's an experience that some of us have received. It's hard to believe that when such an event takes place, an individual carries on a normal life. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, do we carry on as we had before? Right? It's easy enough to do, because we like to go with the flow. We like the normal. We like the mundane of just, I'll just do how I've been doing for so long. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're enabled to speak to God differently. We are empowered to speak of Him and display His kingdom. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. So that's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 13. He enables us. He empowers us, directs us, leads us. The Holy Spirit convicts us, gives us discernment. And we start to reveal His fruit in our life. He empowers us to live differently. So that's Galatians 5, 13 to 16, or 26, sorry. So remember that the Jews had, by this time, spread into every region of the known world, right? They weren't not just in Jerusalem. So on Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, right? As a Passover, Jews had to return to Jerusalem. So it's three feasts they had to return to every year. It was mandatory. So where did they come from? They were people from Africa, Asia, Europe. They were Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, Persians. They were all types in one place at one time. So God's going to do a wonderful thing at once. And so he's going to convert people so that they can take the message back to their homeland. Isn't that a great way to minister to people? we always want this big explosion of people coming to know the Lord. And he says, go out, preach the gospel. Meanwhile, God brought them all there. It's amazing how he brings nations to us. We don't have to leave Canada to preach the gospel to people from different nations. And so he's establishing the church. He's making them ready. He's going to empower them. He's going to give us boldness. He's going to give them boldness. He's going to transform them. And willing to welcome people from every race and every region of the world. It's always sometimes, you know, we were talking about this. We always have certain churches, right? Just think of the blessedness if we had different ethnic groups in one body, right? Worshiping one God, the same God. So we're going to read in Acts 1, 4 to 9. So, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. This is Jesus speaking. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they have come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will it at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in all the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up in the cloud, received him out of sight. Wouldn't that be something? You're talking to Jesus, and he ascends, and they're watching. Like, wow, right? Wouldn't that be something? How long did Jesus stay with them after his resurrection? 40 days. So what was Pentecost? How many days was Pentecost from 50? So how many days did they have to wait? Right? They only had to wait 10 days. So we're going to read chapter verse 12 to 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord. There's unity. And in prayer and supplication. So they got there and they prayed. And the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with his brothers. So there's 120 people in this room waiting, not knowing what to expect. So what is the power of the Holy outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do you think they would have an idea what that was? Not really. They're like, what is this power? So they not really, no one really understood or had awareness of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit meant. They just were waiting and waiting. So you think in 10 days, did you think they might start losing interest? It's hard to say. But sometimes when we have to wait, we start doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Right? Only 10 days. They knew that in Pentecost, he said, this is going to be an outpouring. They knew the length of time. And so Pentecost is a day that God had selected and the Holy Spirit poured out onto the disciples. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, we want to read. So when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because every one of them heard them speaking in their own language. The tongues that they were given, these are people from Galilee. It's like if a Scottish person, you know they're from Scotland because they stand out. So think of someone from Scotland now speaking Arabic. Or now he's speaking, all these Galileans are speaking all these different languages. And these people from all different around the world, it's like these people are speaking my language. These are just Galileans. How do they know my language? When you go to a different country and you actually hear somebody speaking your own language, you're like, oh, somebody else here speaks my language. Right? You're like, wow, this is quite different. And so you get a little thrown out. So here these 120 people are speaking the languages of all these people from around the nations, these Jewish men. How can these people do that? Right? And then when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking their own language. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, not all these who speak Galileans. And how now is it not we hear each other in our own language, in which we were born? That's just so amazing. God empowered those people, those disciples, to speak a language they have never practiced, never learned. All they had to do was open their mouths. He empowered them to speak that. I couldn't imagine what they were saying. So the sound, it was mighty, right? The sound they heard. It was a violent wind. What does that represent? The presence of God. And so it appeared, right? So it says it appeared. Visually looked like tongues or flames. So they've seen a visual part of this. They felt the Holy Spirit. They felt the presence of God. But God also gave them a visual. And he looked like a fire. Right? Flames. Tongues of fire represent the visible picture of God's presence. And he came upon them. And he gave them to be able to speak. So something verbal. People spoke in different languages that were known by the bystanders, however not familiar to one who was speaking. Because the Bible says, when you speak in tongues, there needs to be somebody enabled to interpret the tongue. And here are these people are speaking somebody else's language, and they were interpreting what they were saying. It's only God could do that. The disciples in the upper room would have clearly understood what it means. They were in this upper room. They didn't know what's going to happen. But they were willing to wait because Jesus said, wait. They stayed in obedience. They started praying, becoming unified, right? And so when this fire and wind came, it's just think about how they've been really moved. Just think how beforehand, what would happen to them? What happened before this? They were afraid. They all ran away. They hid. They were ashamed to be with Jesus. Right? They were ashamed to be with Jesus. They all fled. Except for some of the women, they stayed by his side at a distance. But most of them all hid. They were all ashamed. They were doubtful of who Jesus was. But when Jesus spent with them for 40 days, he would have been breaking bread with them, speaking to them, sharing the good news. So they spent time with the resurrected Christ. And so Jesus was crucified on the Feast of Passover, right? When the Lamb of God was offered as an atoning sacrifice for the expiation of our sins. Jesus rose from the dead on what feast? Feast of First Fruits. That was Resurrection Sunday, not Easter. It's important to know when we are to have a biblical understanding how God uses the feast to tell people what's going to happen. The next feast on the Jewish calendar is the Feast of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, or we say Pentecost. The following feast, what's the next feast that's going to come? Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah. And so, what's going to happen that time? Who knows? But they say that when the trumpet blows, that's when the church gets caught up. So that's what we don't know, the day or the hour. The following, so the Pentecost Shavuot, first of weeks, the feast that is 7 weeks following the previous feast, which is the first fruits, plus 1 day, so 50 days. So it's important to understand why God chose this day that the Jewish celebrate the Shavuot for Pentecost. To remember the giving of the law that Moses received from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. That was the first Pentecost. And so that, while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, a tragic event happened at the base of Mount Sinai. So what was that event? So we'd go look at Exodus 32. Moses was on the Mount Sinai. The people became restless and asked Aaron to make them a golden calf that they could worship. How long was Moses up in with God getting the Ten Commandments? And so meanwhile, they had the presence of God. We don't see the pillar at night. We don't see the cloud. They actually seen God. They actually watched God and followed God through everything. And yet, they built this golden calf. They went to Aaron and says, build us a golden calf, so something that we could worship. And so this shows us the intrinsic need for man to worship something higher and bigger than themselves. Do you notice that even today? A lot of people worship themselves. They worship idols rather than the risen Lord. So Aaron fashioned a golden calf It doesn't take too long before the people engage in adultery. So in Exodus 32:7, we're just kind of going through this. But this is what happened in the very first Pentecost. God tells Moses, go down to your people. Do you notice he didn't say my people? He says, Moses, go down to your people. God, right? And Moses says, blot my name out to save these people. So God told him, go down to your people who are engaged in adultery. Moses confronts the people, a very tragic scene. What Moses says as the base of the camp. So verse 25 says of Exodus 32, Moses with a loud voice says, anyone on the side of the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rally to him. Moses gives the Levites instructions in verse 27. With a sword, go back and forth through the camp, one end to the other, killing a brother, a friend, and a neighbor. How many people died that day? Well, 3,000. Can you imagine? Here they are, and there was another thing that happened, but there's 3,000 people died that day. So we're going to Acts 2. We're going to read Acts 2, verse 11. And so then we're going to... So the Cretans and Arabs were here. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said they were full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. Think about Peter. Peter begins to preach to the people the first evangelistic message in the New Testament. God used a man who failed Jesus miserably. Right? Because we know what happened to Peter. He says, oh, Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter says, oh, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I love you so much. I'm going to stick to you, and I'm going to be, like, all over you. Right? He says, I would never leave you. But he denied Jesus three times. Peter ran away. Do you even know this? Even people in the crowd says, are you not one of Jesus' disciples? How did they know him? By his voice. By his accent. Because he knew he was a Galilean. He stood out. He was different. But he ran away. He felt ashamed. So we remember the story. Now Peter is redeemed. Do you notice how he is? Because of what happened in the upper room, and prior to that, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And then he asked Peter again, Peter, do you love me? Then another time he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Jesus was restoring Peter. He never condemned Peter. He never banished Peter. So Peter is now redeemed, restored, empowered with the boldness by the Holy Spirit, and preaches a message to the bystanders who were hearing this, witnessing the power of God. Here you are, you got this man that was so timid, now standing up in front of thousands of people, boldly preaching the gospel. Is that something we would like to do? I know sometimes we get ashamed. We can't even, when somebody asks for prayer, we don't even want to pray. Sometimes we're ashamed. I think maybe we're afraid of what happens if this prayer doesn't happen or this prayer doesn't get answered. Who answers the prayer? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to trust the Lord and lift up prayers. And he's responsible for answering the prayer or not. But sometimes in our minds, we're like, I hope this prayer works. So sometimes we forget who we're praying to. The nature of the Holy Spirit empowers us to live first of all, pointing to Christ. How we live should be pointing to Christ. The kind of life God intends us to live, but not, it's not based on our accomplishments. It's not what I could accomplish. It's what God does. So it's always pointing to Christ. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit so that we might experience the righteousness of Christ in our lives. The Holy Spirit that lives within us is empowering us, directing us, guiding us, giving us the words what to say. And sometimes such like a very faint voice be like, is that my mind playing this? Is that or God? How about we just say, so be it. If I felt like I need to do this and pray for somebody, just pray. If you feel like this little voice is going to give that person a hug or a cheeseburger or whatever, just do it. Right? So Acts 2, verse 36 to 42, we're going to read. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. This is, you know, we only get a very small picture of what he preached. Right? And so, made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Do you know when God's word is preached in authority and with power by the Holy Spirit? It touches our hearts. We're pierced. And we are convicted. And here are these people are, they're convicted. Because their heart were cut. And he said to the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're asking, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. What does repent mean? Change of mind. Change of heart. Doing a 180. Hating sin. Not to go back into the sin and dabble in the sin, but you hate that sin. Return from it. Turn away from it, I should say. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for all the remissions of sins, and you shall be received, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as you as the Lord our God will call. You know, it's him calling. Peter, just out of boldness, because the Holy Spirit empowered him and the other 120 to preach this message. He called the other people to come to have their heart, because he calls people. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized. And then on that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. So the first Pentecost, 3,000 people died. But notice what happens when Peter says, repent and be baptized. 3,000 people were saved and are now alive in Christ. The law was never intended to save anybody. The law was intended to expose your sinful condition, that you would see your need for a Savior. The law exposes the sickness of the human heart. It cannot save a person, which is why when people think of themselves, if I just was be a good enough person, do you ever hear that? You hear that all the time. I think if I'm a good enough person, I should go to heaven. Right. Yeah. And so it's yin and yang, because I mean, that's a whole Buddhist thing. It's like the good outweighs, but how do you know if you did enough good things to outweigh the bad things? You can't. Right? So he says, if I'm a good enough person, I'll go to heaven. You hear that? So that is an exercise of, you know, just this hopeless, like you don't know. And only in Christ, he says, come to me. And Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He says, leave on to me. Confess and trust me. Rely on me. And he has accomplished, and he's the only one that can save us. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit bears witnesses in our heart that we're his children. When we come to know Jesus, he seals us with his Holy Spirit, does he not? He seals us at that moment. He puts his Holy Spirit in you, sealing you with his presence. You know, in John 10:10, it's actually about abundant life. It's at the back of it. It says, he gives us abundant life. Nobody else in this world gives us abundant life. Jesus is the only one that gives us abundant life. Pentecost is a feast to celebrate the end of the wheat harvest by offering at the temple two loaves of wheat made with yeast. Do you know this is the first feast? They were instructed to put yeast into it. You know that? Leviticus 23, verse 16 to 17, it talks about that. The feast was the only one that required this old, to add this yeast in it. What does yeast represent? What else? Corruption. False teaching. So the people brought two loaves to the temple and weighed these loaves as honoring God and that all he has done, because he's the Lord of the harvest. There was a great harvest that was presented to the Lord on that day. 3,000 souls were saved. These are not perfect people. These were sinners. Their lives have been marked by the yeast of this world. Because we read that. This world is a very corrupt world. This world tries to drag us away from the Lord. It entices us with things. It entices us with hopes and grandeur of a better life. Doesn't it? But does it really? It takes you away from the presence of God, who Jesus is the only one who gives us abundant life. Better hope. Assured hope, confidence. It is the leaven of the in their lives, symbolic of sin, yet God accepts them as they are saved. Jesus said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for the harvest. That's John 4:35. You know there's a harvest out there? There's people that don't know Christ. And we have people around us that don't know Christ. We're all given opportunities to share the word of God to them. Perhaps today we ask, Lord, here I am. Because I think if we're all followers of Christ, we all have the Holy Spirit living within us. who will what? Give us boldness. Gives us the words to say. Who show us how to pray. Even if we say, Lord, I don't know how to pray for this person. Help me, Lord. And don't think that your prayer has to be this very eloquent prayer. Do you know when my kids pray for me? It's just from the heart. And God answers that. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send us. The Holy Spirit gives us life. There is a great harvest of souls who have been infected with this yeast and leaven. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So even the Holy Spirit was drawing all this. God, how he brought all those people, men, from all different nations to Jerusalem for that day of Pentecost. Right? He brought them there. Think of the people he brings into our lives each day. And sometimes we fail. We can repent and say, Lord, forgive me for not having that boldness. The 3,000 who heard the truth repented. God the Father received them because how they responded to the gospel. That's what happened. They responded. Their hearts were ready. They heard the words of God with authority and power, and that brought conviction of sin. They realized that they needed a Lord and a Savior. Their hearts were changed. Right? Their hearts were changed. Their eyes were opened to the truth. They were saved by God's grace through faith alone in Christ. And so that's Pentecost. And so today is a great day because we are reminded of what the Holy Spirit does. He's drawing people. God's not doesn't want anybody to perish, does he? Does God want anybody to perish? So perhaps we could pray and just say, Lord, this week, here I am. There's a harvest out there. And Lord, my desire is, Lord, that when you bring people into my life or anybody else's life here, Lord, that you give us wisdom and, Father, in discernment and show us how to pray for people. And, Lord, that we would walk within this boldness. Lord, forgive us when we have fallen short and didn't do anything about that opportunity. But, Lord, help us when you bring the next opportunity along, Lord, that we would be willing to pray for people, to share the truth of the gospel. Father, that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. And Lord, it's you that answers the prayers, not us. So Lord, forgive us at times when we have doubted your ability. Father, help us to be mindful. And so Lord, we just lift up our family members that don't know you. Father, we lift up people who have walked away from you. Father God, we pray for the people in this community. Father, we just pray that you would move and draw people to yourself, and Father, that you would bring people here and bring people into our lives, that we'd be able to share the truth of the gospel to them. Father, give us a willing heart. And Lord, we thank you for your love and compassion, for how you saved us, how you brought us out of our darkness, and brought us into light. Let us be satisfied in you alone. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.